The following Cruise Addicts Talk Show is a production of Cruise Radio.
Consider TripInsurance.com to cover your next cruise investment. Buy direct from the leading insurers and save up to 40% or more on comparable plans from the other sites. Get a quote today and save from TripInsurance.com.
Okay, stand by.
Broadcasting from the Cruise Radio studios in Jacksonville, Florida, this is Cruise Radio.
Hey, I'm Matt Basford. Doug Parker is on assignment in Nassau, Bahamas. It's all about Carnival Triumph this week. We'll speak with one of the passengers who was on board from Houston, Texas, Bethany Fosnacht. Travel writer Chris Owen will weigh in, and we'll check in with Doug in Nassau to get some other passengers' take on the Triumph. But first, Stuart, you're on the Cruise Guys here. Hello, Stuart.
Hey, Matt.
Let's start with the three Carnival ships that came to Triumph's aid with supplies, Elation, Legend, and Conquest. Why didn't they simply transfer the Triumph passengers onto those ships, dividing them up equally?
Well, I guess to make it simple, you have an elevator. It's certified to carry 20 people in the elevator.
Yeah.
You can't stick 40.
Okay.
These three other ships were full. Now, let's make this a little more complicated. Let's add 7 to 10-foot seas and 30-knot winds.
Uh-huh.
So the passengers on Triumph, while it was uncomfortable, unpleasant, awful, they weren't in any imminent danger. Offloading them in those really foul weather conditions
bad
would have been treacherous. People then would have been in danger, and bad things could have certainly happened to good people. So it was not a very good situation. Now, of course, had the ship got, thank God it wasn't, had it been sinking, then there were certainly enough ships in the area that they would have been easily rescued, but that wasn't necessary.
Okay. Now, they're closer to Progreso. Why didn't they go there instead of going a little bit further to Mobile?
Well, it's kind of a two-pointed. The ship actually, in the day and a half of not having power, actually drifted 90 miles. They were in some pretty strong currents to the northern coast of Mexico. So what they did is they dispatched a tug from Mobile. They also dispatched one from Mexico. And as it turned out, that they were actually maybe somewhat, they claim midway between Mobile and Progreso. The logistical problem, the nightmare that would have ensued, was there were 900 passengers on board the ship that did not have their passports, which would have created a problem. I mean, maybe some delays with the Mexican and U.S. immigration authorities.
Right.
So going to Mobile made a whole lot more sense. Compounded, Matt, with the fact that think about how many flights, how many charter flights, and how many days it would have taken to repatriate 4,200 people.
Yeah.
So logistically, it would have been a nightmare. People still wouldn't have been home.
Yeah.
They would have gotten to Progreso yesterday.
Yeah.
And by the time they made it, they probably would have had to have bused these people to Cancun, which, if you've ever done that drive, it could be about 3 hours.
Gotcha. Okay, makes good.
So
makes sense.
It just made a whole lot more sense for them to get the people back to the United States as safely and as quickly as possible.
All right, now correct me if I'm wrong. It's my understanding that Carnival obviously is comping this cruise entirely, giving the passengers $500 each, and they're giving them a cruise credit.
Correct.
Is this fair?
Well, I mean, it's more than just refunding their money.
Yeah.
Plus, any of the expenses incurred. The travel-related expenses, if the airline was charging them something, not to mention that we went from 2 to a total of 14 canceled sailings on Carnival Triumph, which may actually be more once they assess the damage to the ship.
I just don't quite understand why Carnival wasn't better prepared for a situation like this. Could they have been better equipped?
Well, all that, we'll certainly see when it comes out and when they do the investigations. The big question was, from Splendor, one of the lessons learned was supposed to be, having a redundant system, meaning that if one engine room went out, the other one was supposed to have been able to at least take over many of its functions.
Right.
Why did that fail? Again, that will come out in the investigation. But as far as the cruise line, I mean, they immediately, identified what that there was a significant problem. They did everything, I believe, possible under with the available technology to do what they could to ensure that and minimize the suffering that these passengers unfortunately had to endure. We'll only know what exactly happened, once the time the dust settles, and they have time to assess what actually occurred, what failed, and really what can we learn so this way it doesn't happen again. When you talk about the previously reported damage to the ship or repairs, they had nothing to do with the engine room fire. There were repairs to an engine. There may have been repairs to this and that, but the ship was sound. And I think the biggest message I can offer for people to part from this, Matt, is that the ships and the ocean are the lifeblood of an entire industry, and they're never going to jeopardize the lives or the the safety of the ship and the passengers, to save a few bucks or put a ship that is not seaworthy out to sea.
Right.
The ship is only 13 and a half years old. It's got a long life ahead of it. They're doing an amazing job with reinventing these ships to give them another 14 years, which will certainly take the ship to sail for many more years.
I'm seeing here that Carnival said they had over 7,000 phone calls to their care team in Miami. I mean, it sounds like what you're saying is that they were doing everything they could.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know we've heard from a lot of the passengers that they were getting misinformation or they weren't getting enough information, and that can happen anytime, anywhere, to anyone. It's just unimaginable what the folks on the ship had to endure, the family. Thankfully, with the other ships, when they did come alongside, that they were at least able to get some cell phone service. But, I mean, there are some issues for them that they have to examine to make the, future emergencies much better. And it's something that the industry is going to have to look at, very soon.
I want to hear your thoughts about the overall media coverage of this event.
Well, I mean, you have certain networks that just redundant. I mean, it was just so much, so frequent. It was the same story being told by different people, and it just seems like they over-dramatized.
Yeah.
And they prolonged these people suffering. You had a lot of people that were on the phone. These people had limited cell phone service, limited power to charge their phone. You heard, essentially, if you saw the pictures of these extension cords that were being used to power all these poor people's phones, I mean, that in itself, appeared to have been a fire hazard. But putting that aside, I mean, these poor people are suffering, yet the media was encouraging these people to call in and stay on the phone and take up a charge. And, then it was just a waste of resources. But these poor people were suffering, and they just essentially over-dramatized it, over-sensationalized it. And
what they do best.
And it's just unfortunate. It just made it so much worse.
Yeah.
Than what was there.
Notice how I said that's what they do best. We, of course, are no party to it.
Unfortunately, we certainly heard from a vocal minority versus the silent majority where, it wasn't until really the passengers were coming off the ship that we really heard the amazing accolades of how well the crew performed on board the ship. And there's certainly a lot of, good stories of how they worked tirelessly to assist the passengers through this horrible event.
What, in your opinion, do you think Carnival could have done better?
Well, I think, communication is always the number one factor in trying to alleviate, suffering. At least if I know what's going on, you can handle the situation much better but we weren't there, so we don't know what was going on. Shoreside, we know Carnival, they had numerous updates. They were very forthcoming with information. They immediately identified what this was. They didn't try to sugarcoat the severity of the situation, and that was a lesson learned from previous experiences. What more they could have done to alleviate the suffering, we won't know until we know more of the facts.
Following this incident, are we going to see any Carnival cruise prices drop?
The answer is I do not believe the prices will drop. The cruise lines are not the cruise lines collectively, because this certainly affects the industry. People are going to understand this is not representative of the cruise industry. Thousands of cruise departures go off without a hitch every year. Over 20 million people worldwide went on a cruise last year and didn't experience any problem. This was not representative of the industry. It's very unfortunate. So what the cruise lines have learned over time, there may be a softness in bookings, but they're not going to panic by lowering the price because they know, look, you know, in a few days, this will blow over. I mean, I, you know, through all the different interviews I was doing on CNN and different stations around the country, there is a confidence. They, you know, the people I was speaking to understood what was going on, and that you know, cruising is, of course, statistically still the safest vacation mode. And you know, the cruise lines are just going to take a step back. We'll reevaluate, but they're certainly not going to panic and say, "Hey, you know, we're going to drop the price." It's not going to happen.
The last word I heard was Carnival is canceling their next 14 sailings. Is that right?
Correct. There's 14, a total of 14 sailings. Passengers booked on those sailings will be getting a full refund, plus a 25% future Carnival cruise credit, you know, based on the amount that they paid for the current cruise that was being canceled. And it's 14 now. It, you know, once they have time to actually assess the damage, it could go higher than that.
A lot longer, yeah.
Sure. Because as we know from what we heard, there's besides the mechanical damage, there's a lot of structure, you know, interior damage.
Right. Biohazard.
Yeah, because of everything we heard, and we don't need to get into it.
Right. Gotcha.
We've all seen it on the news.
Right.
We got it.
Very good. Very good. Very good. All right. We'll see what happens here. Thank you so much, Stuart.
It's a pleasure.
Cruise Radio News, now trending at cruiseradio.net. This is Cruise Radio.
For over 42 years, Park West Gallery has introduced over 1.3 million people to fine art. Here's what actual customers are saying.
I've been collecting with Park West 5-6 years now.
6 years.
9 years.
10 years. Everybody we meet at Park West makes you feel comfortable. You're part of their family.
It is an exciting and fun experience. It is enjoyable, uplifting.
Park West has been so kind to us. Park West makes us excited to spend money on art.
To find out more about Park West Gallery, visit parkwestgallery.com or go to cruiseradio.net and click on the Park West Gallery icon. It's not just a good idea to have travel insurance during the winter months or hurricane season. Every travel agent or travel expert we talk to says it is a very smart idea to always travel with travel insurance.
That's why you should check the folks out at tripinsurance.com. They have exclusive products from the leading travel insurers that you won't find anywhere else.
Yeah, they are the low-cost leader in travel insurance with savings up to 40% or more when you compare similar coverage from other sources.
What plan do you want to go with? Good, better, or best? They have coverage in all three categories that make it easy to find the right insurance plan for your budget.
You know what defines great customer service? Actually being able to talk to a human being. And they do that at tripinsurance.com. They are committed to great customer service with 24/7 telephone support before, during, and after your trip. You can also file claims online right on their website, and they keep you posted of any travel alerts that could affect your travels or safety at your destination. Check them out right now. tripinsurance.com.
So we're here in Nassau, Bahamas, and I'm sure you've heard about the Carnival Triumph incident in the Gulf of Mexico, right?
Yes.
What did you think of the incident, and would it stop you from sailing Carnival again?
No, I think accidents are just going to happen.
Where are you from, man?
North Carolina.
Safe travels back.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, honey, radio show.
Here we go.
Come on.
Have you? So what's your name, man?
Stevie.
Stevie, have you heard about the Carnival Triumph incident this week?
A little bit here and there.
Would that stop you from sailing Carnival?
No, I don't think so.
Aaron, dude, have you seen the news about Carnival Triumph this week?
I have.
Would that stop you from sailing Carnival in the future?
No, been on, this is our third one. We'll keep going.
Rock on. Is this your fiance, wife?
The wife.
The wife.
That's
nice.
Wife.
Nice.
Wife.
happy wedding, honeymoon, all that good stuff. What's your name?
Carrie.
Carrie, I'm sure you've heard of Carnival Triumph since you're probably fornicating in the same cabin, right?
Yep.
Nice. Would that stop you from sailing Carnival in the future?
Absolutely not.
Stream us worldwide on our free iPhone app. Just search Cruise Radio Live in your app store.
Travel writer Chris Owen joins us now. Hello, Chris.
I'm Matt. How are you?
Very good. Now, after what happened on Carnival Triumph, is there anything you might do differently to prepare for future cruises, aside from packing a flashlight with extra batteries?
Well, I'll tell you, a flashlight's always a good thing to take, that's for sure. You know, it used to be in the olden days that to be prepared for a cruise, you'd bring along duct tape because it could fix anything from a dress hem to a broken piece of luggage. I don't know that I'd add anything because of the Carnival Triumph situation, but I sure would double-check and make sure that you have plenty of medication if you're on it. It's always a good idea to take more than just the day's worth that you need for a cruise. But if you're on a prescription medication that take more, like say twice as much, it can't hurt, just in case something should happen. These things are so rare that it's more likely that you'll get a flight delay or a canceled flight or have some transportation problems getting to and from the ship than for something like this to happen. But I'm an old Boy Scout from way back, and we try to be prepared for anything.
Overall, Chris, what lessons are to be learned here?
Well, it's a tragic situation when the sort of thing happens. Somebody, they've bargained for a certain vacation, they don't get it, and for whatever the reason is. The part that I thought that was watching the whole thing all along, the part that I thought was that I was uncomfortable with was the way the media was covering it, and I'm sure Stuart touched on that.
Yep.
But I would encourage people to go about their business of going on a cruise and enjoy it. Know that it happens very rarely. And pay attention to those people that were coming off the ship that are ready to get right back on and go again.
Right.
There's a lot of people with really good attitudes. The thing that I thought that was interesting out of the whole thing was that, you know, they didn't have much power. They didn't have much electricity. People were forced to talk to each other, read books, play games. They would do non-electronic things. And there were so many people that came off of there saying, you know, we met people that we'll be friends with forever. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a reunion of some of them coming up, because it's a shared experience. And anytime you can do that, it's a good thing.
I couldn't agree with you more, Chris. Thank you so much.
You bet.
Always glad to have him, President and CEO of TripInsurance.com, Dan Skilkin. Welcome back to Cruise Radio, Dan.
Thanks, Matt. It's good to be here.
Dan, it seems to be fair what Carnival is compensating the passengers. And all the news reports are saying that with this situation, Trip Insurance wouldn't help the people on Carnival Triumph. Is that true?
Yes and no. If you bought your travel insurance through a third party instead of the cruise line, then often the rest of your pre- and post-cruise land reservations or air travel that isn't booked through the cruise company would be covered through your travel insurance. So we discussed this disabled Carnival cruise ship situation with two of our larger insurers. And the situation, as far as they're concerned, would be considered a complete cessation of services of a common carrier due to a mechanical breakdown, no doubt. And based on that, provided all the other policy requirements are met, there would have been coverage for trip cancellation, trip interruption, or travel delay for this situation. But if we break down the people affected by this into two groups, those on the cruise ship and those on future cruises that have been canceled, and talk about what Carnival's doing, let's see how travel insurance, you know, could have helped them. In the case of the people on the cruise ship, they're going to receive a full refund for the cruise and their unused shore excursions. Carnival's going to handle their transportation home and any additional hotel expense. They're going to give everyone $500 and a credit for the same amount as the original cruise towards a new cruise. So at that point, their financial loss with regard to the actual cruise is already being reimbursed. But if the travelers had any prepaid land arrangements, vacation arrangements that they were going to continue after the boat landed, those prepaid post-land arrangements would be covered if they had travel insurance. I think there's about 14 future cruises that Carnival's canceled at this point. That number may be in a bit of a flux, but the people affected by that and future cruises, they're going to get a full refund of the canceled cruise and 25% off a future cruise. So, again, these people may have had pre- or post-trip land arrangements or air not booked by Carnival, and those would be covered by travel insurance, provided that they bought the travel insurance for the rest of all that travel.
This next question comes from Stacy in Delaware on Twitter. She wants to know, does trip insurance cover financial compensation for folks that miss work?
Unfortunately, Stacy, no. Travel insurance doesn't cover lost wages or income if you miss your work. But it can help you get back to work if your trip has been interrupted. So it can help you get back to work faster, but it's not going to cover you for any kind of lost wages.
Gotcha. Now, Dan, what is the biggest reason for a cruiser to purchase trip insurance?
Well, there are three important reasons. The first, you need to cover the non-refundable cost of the cruise in case you have to cancel. The other two are coverage for your medical expense and medical evac, because most of the time your medical treatment costs during a cruise are not going to be covered by your home health insurance. Now, it's a really good idea to buy from a third-party source instead of just from the cruise company, because that's going to help cover you for bankruptcy of a travel provider and also cover other air and hotel arrangements that you aren't booking through the cruise company.
All right, very good. President and CEO of TripInsurance.com, Dan Skilkin, as always, thank you.
Matt, thank you very much for having me on the show. Have a great day.
If you missed any part of the show or want to hear more, go to cruiseradio.net or go to iTunes and search Cruise Radio. Follow us on Twitter at Cruise Radio.
Follow me.
I'm really glad she could make time for us. She was aboard Carnival Triumph. She is from Houston, Texas, Bethany Fasnacht. Welcome to Cruise Radio.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, we really appreciate you sharing your experience. The media, of course, per usual, hyping it up and creating a lot of drama and showing the pictures and the awful conditions and whatnot. Before we talk about that, how was the cruise experience leading up to that?
The cruise was great leading up to that. We were really enjoying, you know, just the whole experience of being waited on. You know, that's the whole reason we went, was to get everything taken care of for us. And that we definitely felt that that was happening. And great drinks, great people on board, great dinners. You know, we just felt like everything was being taken care of.
And what day did it all go down?
We were in Cozumel on Saturday. And then on Sunday morning, we were awoken at about 5:30 with, over the intercom, the captain saying, Alpha Team, Engine Room 6.
What day of the cruise was that?
Day 3.
Okay.
We left on Thursday.
You're right.
It was our last day at sea before getting home.
All right, so you hear the big announcement, Alpha Team, and then kind of walk us through what happened after that.
I believe within 30 minutes of that announcement, our cruise director was on, assuring us that there was a fire, but it had been contained and that there was no danger. Everyone could leave the muster station and just sort of went from there. You know, we could definitely smell the smoke already. I was on deck 7, and so we were far away from it. But, you know, we could smell the smoke, and the lights started to go out, and then, you know, the water went out, and sort of just everything started happening.
Right.
People were knocking on people's doors to get them out of their cabins on the lower decks, but on the upper decks, we just had our doors open, kind of just trying to see what was going on around us.
What happened after that?
I would have to say within an hour to 2 hours, they had come back on and said that this fire has happened, it is out, but we can't get in to assess the damage until everything cools down. So we are going to sit here and we're going to wait. So go have breakfast. It's cold cuts and everything, whatever cold thing they had.
Now, were you an inside cabin or balcony?
Luckily, we had a balcony.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yes.
Tell us about now day 4, which would be day 2 of no power. And when did things really start to become like, oh boy, this is really not good?
It was really, honestly, that was probably day 1 in the evening when we realized that nothing could be done, that no repair was coming. A tugboat was on its way, but wouldn't be able to meet us for another 24 hours. We did get, that night, the Elation came to drop off supplies, and we were able to huddle near the windows and, you know, get cell signal to call our families and tell them what was going on and let them know that we were okay.
Of course, the media is really hyping it up with headlines like carpets soaked in urine, sewage running down walls, and onion sandwiches for dinner. You were there. Tell us the truth.
I would honestly say that all those things are a little bit true.
Okay.
Definitely, day 1 was the bleakest day as far as food went.
Yeah.
Lines were horribly long. No one knew what we were doing or what we were in for. So you took what you thought you needed, and, you know, you just were down. There definitely were sandwiches. I don't know about onion. I think they just got unfortunate.
Yeah.
There were definitely like eggplant sandwiches or mozzarella and tomato, cucumber sandwiches. They were trying to use up the tuna, so we had a lot of that.
Right.
Lots of fresh fruit always. We used up the cereal probably by the second day.
Yeah. Now, and how is the crew throughout all this? And are you being kept abreast of what's going on from the captain in regards to announcements?
Well, in hindsight, we were being told when conclusions were made. We were not told, you know, this is what we're facing. We were told this is what we're doing. And while that I think it worked to keep us calm, but it also makes people bitter now that they know, you know, what they were trying to decide between, now that we've, you know, heard the news from everyone here.
Was the cruise director having the crew members kind of keep passengers engaged with activities and such?
By Monday, they had started to do that. Trivia games in the casino, which was so hot, I don't know how anybody went down for that. Tuesday and Wednesday, they had scavenger hunts for the kids. More and more throughout the week, they'd have activities. But I think they tried ballroom lessons someplace. You know, they were, and I think they even had Bible studies in the lounge at night for people to go and visit. And, you know, they did try to keep people's spirits up, but for the most part, people just kind of entertained themselves.
Overall, what would you say was the worst part of this experience?
As far as what I faced, I think the worst part, the lines, was the not knowing. Because we were fortunate enough to be on deck to have a balcony room, we didn't face the problems with the sewage, even just water on the floor, the lower deck side. I do believe they did have sewage, but I think that might have been more from things overflowing from toilets that didn't flush, more than it being the system leaking.
Yeah, we had heard they were passing out bags and buckets to go to the bathroom in. Tell me more about the situation. What bathrooms were available?
They were pretty diligent about keeping public restrooms open, especially on the decks in the middle of the boat. Like the Lido deck where the food was, those were never open. But on deck 5 and 3, those were almost always open, or they were almost always working on them. Okay. Depending on which way the boat leaned, yeah, you might have toilets working in your room. We did for probably Tuesday for a couple of hours, and then the last day, almost the entire day. But besides that, you would go to a public restroom, or you could use the red bag.
What were some of the worst experiences you had heard of on the ship?
Some of the worst were just the sewage issues. But the problem being is it sounded like they were exaggerating.
Yeah.
You know, it sounded like, because it wasn't happening to us, we didn't understand how it could be happening to anyone. Also, because we weren't hearing any reports of it from the crew themselves, we didn't understand how it was even possible. Now that we see pictures and we're hearing people, a lot more people talk about it, that's when it's becoming, like, it's really ringing true that, hey, this was even worse for other people. There was a lot of people slipping. The ship was lifting the entire time. It's not made to do that for extended periods of time. And so, especially on the Lido deck, you would have an entire side of the ship that was wet floors, and they're tile. They're not made to be walked on when they're wet.
Right.
And so it caused a lot of problems. A lot of people fell and sprained ankles, I think broke a couple hips, other bones. Hearing those stories were devastating.
So we're hearing you're getting a full refund, $500, and a cruise credit to use in the future. Do you think that's fair?
I'm not sure yet.
Okay.
I think if it truly was, like, it's an old ship. If it's something that just happened that they couldn't have predicted, but it just happens on an older ship, then yes, they've done what they needed to do. There are rumors that there have been problems with the Triumph for a month, if not more. If that's true, and they took 4,000 people out on the water in a ship that wasn't prepared, then they owe us more. I mean, they were putting us in danger, and for that they should have to pay more. But I am satisfied with what I have. I mean, like I said, especially if they did nothing truly wrong, if it was, I do have to say that I don't think I'll ever sail from Galveston again, because it's just inevitable we have the older ships here because it's a secondary port.
Now, after you get your comped cruise, will you continue to cruise, and will you cruise Carnival again?
I think that I will cruise again. I like I said, I definitely love the all-inclusive feel of it, that everything is taken care of, but I don't think that I would cruise Carnival again. I think it's fair to say that Carnival and other lines like Royal Caribbean are kind of your budget lines, and I think that I can, maybe other more luxury lines would be more prepared in this situation.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're home safe. What was the first thing you did when you got home? That's what I want to know.
First thing I did when I got home was to plug in my cell phone so I could continue talking to all my friends about what had happened.
I love it. Again, happy you're home safe. From Houston, Texas, Bethany Fosnacht. Thanks for talking to us.
Oh, no problem.
Here we are in Nassau, Bahamas with a cruise passenger. Dude, you saw Carnival Triumph.
I did.
What did you think of it? And do you think Carnival's response was fair?
It was a very unfortunate situation, but I think Carnival did everything they could as far as making the necessary arrangements to get the ship safely back to port, as far as keeping the public and passengers informed, and compensating the passengers for what they went through. I mean, they got a full refund, they're getting a free cruise, they're getting discounts on future cruises, $500, and they're going to get them home at no charge. And I saw Jerry Cahill, the CEO of Carnival, on CNN. He made a heartfelt apology and was boarding the ship to offer a personal apology to the passengers that were affected. A very stand-up guy.
I don't know if you're like me, but I was watching the coverage last night on CNN, and it felt like to me they were just looking for people to say negative things, and if they weren't saying negative things, they were kind of just pushing them along the way.
Yeah, it was absolutely deplorable. I used to have respect for CNN, but it was just really trying to make it one-sided and negative. Anchors and meteorologists who have no clue about cruising were just going on and speculating and had no idea what they were talking about. It was shameful.
Yeah, Erin Burnett definitely had a couple of awkward moments last night talking to passengers because she wanted to hear bad stuff, and like 90% of the folks had nothing bad to say. Dude, enjoy your vacation. Thank you so much for being on Cruise Radio.
Thank you.
All right, that's going to do it. Thanks again to our guest, especially Carnival Triumph passenger Bethany Fosnacht. Don't forget, we have an app. It's free for iPhone users, only 99 cents for the Droid users. Stay abreast of all the latest cruise news. Just go to cruiseradio.net and be sure to sign up for those instant alerts. On behalf of Doug Parker in Nassau, Bahamas, I'm Matt Basford, and this is Cruise Radio.
Thanks for listening to Cruise Radio. For information on how your company can reach over 100,000 travel enthusiasts a week, email sales@cruiseradio.net. Find Cruise Radio on iTunes, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Just search Cruise Radio. I'm your announcer.
The preceding Cruise Addicts Talk Show was a production of Cruise Radio.